In the building property construction industry, we've been working on sustainability for a long time, and that's about doing less bad. But the next generation of thinking is this idea of regenerative, where you're giving back, you're doing something positive. I can paraphrase a little story that's known in the industry. It's about the cherry tree. Every year it puts out a great abundance of blossom, and everybody delights in seeing this beautiful tree with all of its blossoms. And that creates food for birds and sustenance for bees and nutrients for the soil. So it gives back to the environment. But that's a great deal of pleasure and positivity out of it. If it was taking an efficiency approach, it would probably put out one little flower and nurture it and make the piece of fruit drop to the ground and nurture that single pit. And, you know, it doesn't need an abundance of flowers, but because it's a systems approach, that everything has an interconnectedness, it can give a lot more positive things to the environment than just its own sustenance and its own sustaining. Another example I can give is a development down in Victoria, and it's a piece of agricultural land that's been seriously degraded ecologically as a consequence of actions from humans. It's slowly losing its ability to be agricultural land, and the owners are looking at how they can bring that back, how they can stop the salination, the inundation, the dying of all of the local vegetation and creatures. And the way they're looking at doing it is to build a new town there, a little housing development that'll be self-sustaining commercially, but use that as an opportunity to do what they need to do with the land, with the water, to bring back the land and make it viable again and give it a purpose and leave the place better. So it's an ecological repair that comes out of doing the development. And the development becomes the catalyst for and the economic viability, if you like, for doing that work.
How do you kind of then gear people into thinking about regeneration as opposed to just thinking about what we can do to hold the line? How do you encourage people to get on that bandwagon?
If you understand the interconnectedness of things, how one aspect will impact on others, you start to understand things in more than just an efficiency or a conservation sort of approach. Another example is with urban greening. It's quite a popular concept, the idea of having plants on your building, as we can see across the road with Central Park. The benefit of a tree is that it can create shade. It holds water in the landscape, so it actually cools the local environment. If you have a tree near your house, it's a big tree, it's likely to mean it's cooler in your immediate environment of your house, makes it cheaper to cool the house, more comfortable to live there, as well as giving back to biodiversity. If you've got a vegetated environment, that can help clean the stormwater runoff, hold more water in the landscape, put less pressure on the stormwater system. So there's a lot of consequences that come out of the thinking. And the other side of that is there's a concept called urban heat island. So our cities are several degrees warmer than the land would have been without our development because of all the roofs, the paving, all the hard surfaces, all the dark surfaces. So the more you have urban vegetation, the cooler the whole urban environment is. We get an awful lot of deaths every year as a consequence of heat in summer. So if we had a more green environment, it would be better for the health of people and the well-being of people. I'm getting the message from numbers of different directions that the ideal scale to work at is the neighbourhood scale. You need to be bigger than an actual house or a development site because you have impacts on your neighbourhood, but you get too big and it's hard to manage. Things like distributed energy generation, where you might be able to generate some energy on your site, but maybe the optimal size of generation is more than you need to use on the site. So if we have ways of being able to sell it to our neighbours, we don't have the losses by sending it out onto the grid, the transmission losses. You're just using it locally. Same with water. You might be able to treat water on your site and sell clean water to your neighbours, or there are examples of buildings around that do what's called sewer mining, where they actually tap into the sewer going past the front door, treat it and return cleaner water as part of their own treatment of their own sewerage on site. So there are ways of working at neighbourhood scale with infrastructure. That means that more than just your own site benefits. We're starting to embrace broader concepts than just energy, water, waste. We're looking at beauty and justice and well-being and health as equally important criteria in how we assess these things or the criteria we use to design for development. So it's a the people aspects are just as strong as the technical aspects.
What are the well-being and beauty aspects? What's that?
Some of the tools around, there's one tool called the Living Building Challenge that is used to assess and rate buildings, and it has a criteria for beauty. So it's a recognition that an ugly building doesn't do anything for the soul, isn't an attractive thing to use. It's not going to have as long a life if it's not giving pleasure. You might have all the technical things right, but if it's a horrible place to be, well, why would you bother? So it's part of the core needs that a building or a development should deliver. One of the buildings they certified in America, they needed a sewage treatment system, a wastewater treatment system, and they did it with basically plant beds, water running through plant beds, and it has a big, bright, sunny, lots of glazing around it in a building, and it is now the most popular building on that big development site for people to visit. They have yoga classes in the space. It's highly well regarded. It is a beautiful place to be. And it's a wastewater treatment plant. Who would have thought? Part of the consideration is that something is durable. It lasts, and it can, for all of the effort that goes into making it, the resources, the people resources, the money, that it has a life that's worth using. If it's not beautiful, that life is going to be much shorter because people are quite ready to get rid of it very quickly. Whereas if it's beautiful, people protect it. You know, people go out and fight to keep heritage buildings that they value and will make efforts to reuse them and adapt them over time. But if it's horrible, then everyone's pleased to see it go, and what a waste of resources that is.
Do you think then people might be fighting to protect the most beautiful sewage treatment facility ever there?
Yep, that happens. Historic examples in Sydney of waste incinerators, and they're now heritage sites. They have been converted into all sorts of other things. They were highly valued because they were great pieces of architecture. That was just burning waste.